Good morning. We'll get started now. My name is Mark Lowry. I'm with DEC's Office of Climate Change, and I'll serve as the facilitator for today's meeting. I want to welcome you to this stakeholder advisory meeting for the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative's New York State Operating Plan 2018 Amendment. I was going to go over logistics, such as restrooms and coffee, but I think everyone in the room actually know where that is, and the people sitting in the webinar audience certainly know where they need to go for restrooms and coffee. So we'll skip that part. Just a couple other logistics, mostly for those who are on the webinar. For those of you who have managed to connect to the webinar online but haven't yet connected to the audio, there are a few notes on this slide to guide you to the event info tab at the top left of the screen. You find that some people, if the system does not detect it, you have both a microphone and speakers. It will likely not let you connect via the computer's audio, in which case you have to phone in. The instructions are there. And also for all the WebEx participants, if you have problems or technical questions, please send them to my colleague, Frank Ciampa, who will be watching for any concerns that come up. Send those problems or technical questions via the WebEx chat. If you have content questions for our speakers, send them through the Q&A feature. WebEx participants will not be permitted to participate via voice. You will be muted, but you can send all of your comments and questions via the Q&A feature, and we will address them during the discussion period. Before I go through the agenda, we're going to ask President and CEO of NYSERDA, Alicia Barton, and not Commissioner Sagos from DEC, but Julie Tye, the Chief of Staff of DEC, is here in his stead to provide some brief opening remarks. President Barton.
Good morning, everyone. Here. So thank you to those of you who are here in person, and thanks to everybody who is participating via the WebEx for joining us today for this conversation about the proposed operating plan for REGI. I want to really also thank everybody for making time during what is an extremely busy time of year. We know the holidays are shortly upon us, but this is part of our annual effort to engage stakeholders around the important conversations pertaining to the REGI program. And from the NYSERDA perspective, and working in close partnership with DEC on this program, we just really appreciate the continued and thoughtful engagement of stakeholders across the board in helping us make progress on this program, which really stands as a shining example of the progress, the environmental and economic progress that can be made through concerted effort to tackle climate change and other environmental threats. This multi-year, multi-state, multifaceted programmatic effort under REGI is really unique and has been extraordinarily successful at driving positive environmental and outcomes both on the clean air side and in fostering clean energy as well. Collectively, over the years, New York has been able to reinvest over $1 billion of proceeds from the REGI auctions, and that really complements the other signature efforts that New York is making in investing in a clean energy future under, for example, the Clean Energy Fund, our $1 billion New York Sun program, the New York Green Bank, and all the collective investments we are making as a state to advance towards a cleaner, more reliable, and more affordable future in the electric system for all New Yorkers. And REGI is also a cornerstone of our efforts towards progress, towards the big picture climate goals that we have. So as most of you will know, New York has set a nation-leading commitment to achieve 40% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions below 1990 levels by the year 2030. We've also set extraordinarily ambitious clean energy targets as well, including our commitment to achieve 50% of the state's electric supply from renewable energy sources by 2030. And we've set aggressive energy efficiency goals as well, including our goal to achieve a 600 CBTU increase in statewide energy efficiency by 2030. These are ambitious but achievable goals through concerted efforts like those that we are here to talk about today in terms of the operating plan for investment of the REGI proceeds. Earlier this week, the state energy planning board met to discuss our progress towards those big picture goals, and we I think are really pleased to be able to present that plan, which shows concerted across the board effort economy wide in all sectors that we seek to tackle and towards that 40% greenhouse gas reduction goal. But it also does show that we have a lot of work left to do. And that's why continued engagement of partners and stakeholders to help us make informed strategic decisions about what actions are needed to make progress towards those big picture goals is really so critically important. The proposed operating plan that we're here to talk about today is one which evidences, again, increased focus and investment in key areas that we need to tackle collectively as a state. It also proposes a three-year outlook, which is important to take a credible and conservative approach to planning for the REGI proceeds. The plan that we propose also demonstrates in a lot of ways the difficulty of planning over a multi-year time horizon, recognizing the volatility within the auction proceeds, and the difficulty of making projections as to what revenues will be available as a result of those auctions. So what you'll see come through in the operating plan that we seek to present today is really an effort to use the best information available and to support good and prudent financial planning for the use of those funds towards, again, the many clean energy goals that we have, and my colleagues Jeff Picken and John Williams will run through the specifics around the programmatic initiatives that are embodied in the three-year plan. So with that, I'll again just reiterate my thanks and for everyone's participation in the program. We look forward to the feedback and to continue to working hard with all of you to make progress on our energy and environmental goals in the state. And with that, I'll hand it over to Julie.
Julie.
Good morning. Thank you very much for kicking that off. Thank you all for taking the time to meet with us, whether by in person or by WebEx here. We appreciate the thoughts that you're going to be providing to us on the updated plan for investing the REGI proceeds. We've had another very successful year in the REGI program, and the participating states were pleased to have completed the second round of program review to further our progress in cutting flood climate solutions. As the federal government steps back from climate, New York continues to stride forward with the programs that curb climate change while improving public health and our economy. Governor Cuomo's leadership on REGI is a prime example, as he set ambitious goals at each program review, which, as you know, resulted in the northeastern states agreeing to further strengthen its banner program. Emissions from the power sector in New York have fallen more than 50% since the states agreed to set the cap in 2005, and the cap will be 65% lower by 2030. Following implementation of the recently announced updates. We've already seen that the REGI program is yielding economic and health benefits for the state. And the success of the REGI program is really the CAP investment program is twofold. The states have been setting the cap on emissions, which sends price signals to reduce carbon while setting emissions limits. And the states then invest those in complementary energy efficiency and clean energy programs, many of which President Barton already noted. These work hand in glove together. And we'd like to highlight some of the regulatory components that are going to be setting those limits. After we've had extensive analyses and stakeholder engagement, the REGI states have agreed to propose regulatory changes to reduce the cap an additional 30% from 2020 to 2030, establish an emissions containment reserve to achieve additional emissions reductions when costs are lower than expected by withholding allowances if the prices drop below established triggers, and updating the cost containment reserve which serves as a price buffer if costs are higher than expected. So we're really trying to limit the volatility that occurs within that market. Just yesterday, Regi Inc. issued a press release on behalf of the participating states, rolling out three documents that are going to support that implementation. The final model rule, which each state will follow to in their implementation of their own programs when they are establishing their regulations. A set of principles to guide implementation of the revisions, including a commitment to continue to invest in clean energy programs that are really important for Regi's success. And a set of principles, and macroeconomic projections that the proposed program review scenario will result in more than 130,000 additional job years over the modeling period and more than $9 billion in additional gross state products region-wide. This positive story reflects benefits from investment of proceeds in clean energy. So we intend at the department to begin the rulemaking for the updating the CO2 budget trading program starting in the new year. There will be additional opportunities for stakeholders to contribute during that process. As you all know, Lois and Mark and her team like to have very robust stakeholder conversations outside of and above and beyond what the SAPA requires us to do. So I want to not delay you any further from having this conversation, so thank you very much for coming today, and we look forward to hearing your thoughts.
Thank you, Julie, and please excuse my I'm coughing. I'll try to keep that under control. So let me go over today's fairly simple agenda very quickly, and then we'll get into the real presentations. We are going to be hearing from NYSERDA staff. They're going to talk about the funding assumptions they have made, the proposed budgets, and the proposed programs under the 2018 program operating plan amendment. Then we will have an opportunity for you to ask as many questions and get as many questions as you want to ask and as many answers as we have staff to give them. And of course, we are here for your initial reactions, to take your initial comments, but as we will talk about later, the most effective way for you to get your comments paid attention to, is to submit them in writing, and we'll be talking about that at the end, how you do that at the end of the meeting during the next steps presentation. So our first presenter to discuss the funding assumptions is Jeff Pitkin, who is treasurer at NYSERDA. Jeff.
Thanks, Mark, and good morning, everyone.
Page down.
Or you can use that, this one.
No, the one to the right.
Right. Thank you. The Regi operating plan that we've distributed to stakeholders provides for a three-year plan, and I want to review the revenue assumptions that we've used in the plan. The revenues for the three-year period conservatively assumed that allowance prices would be approximately 85% of the projections prepared by the independent consultant for the Regi program review based on modeling. That 85% factor was developed from a review of historical Regi allowance prices from prior auctions and prior modeling analyses that had been prepared for previous program reviews. And based upon that analysis, we felt that a 15% reduction off the modeled assumptions would be appropriate and would be relatively conservative for purposes of program planning. So the end result of that is that we project allowance prices of ranging from $4.98 during calendar year 2018, rising to $5.58 in calendar year 2020. By comparison, however, the most recent auction that just completed this month cleared at a $3.80 allowance price. So you can see that our projections for the three-year planning horizon are in excess of the most recent auction results that we've seen. Slide 8 provides a historical and projected view of number of allowances, allowance prices, and revenues. So the number of allowances are shown in the blue line at the bottom. The allowance prices appear as the red line, and so you can see the relative volatility that we've seen in allowance prices over the past few years, particularly since 2014. And then the green lines and the green dash represents both historical and projected levels of revenues that result from our assumption of an allowance price and number of allowances that would be are offered for sale. Slide 9 just simply summarizes the number of allowances, allowance prices, and revenues that are contained in Table 1 of the operating plan. So this just presents our projected revenues for the 3-year period. So I'm going to provide a bit of an overview of the program budget and kind of speak to how we approach the budget from a planning perspective. And then John Williams will go into more of the details of the proposed investments that are outlined in the plan. So we are presenting a 3-year plan, and a 3-year plan that provides for a balanced budget. And that's a departure from prior plans, to be clear and candid. The last RGGI operating plan that was presented a 1-year plan, and it presented a plan that showed projected RGGI investments that on a cumulative basis would be in excess of our projected revenues. We described last year that that was commitment-based, it's not cash-based, and we presume that we would make adjustments in future RGGI investments and kind of get back in line with our projections of revenues. But I think our approach in this year's plan is to present a 3-year horizon. We think that 3-year horizon provides a better line of sight to stakeholders and others of what our expectations are over a longer planning horizon than just a 1-year plan. And it presents our plan for how we will achieve a balanced budget in the RGGI program and deal with prior commitments that have been made to fund RGGI investments at the same time that we saw reductions in RGGI allowance prices. At the end of last year's plan had originally forecasted that based upon our conservative revenue estimates, we forecasted that on a cumulative basis, we'd end fiscal year 18-19 with commitments of about $19 million in excess of our revenues. But subsequent to that plan, as we saw further declines in RGGI allowance prices, we revised our revenue forecast, and that resulted in a cumulative projected shortfall of about $72 million between our cumulative commitments that we've made for RGGI program investments as compared to our projected revenues through the end, through March of 2018. So our 3-year plan presents an approach for getting alignment between our proposed investments and our projected revenues. And so you'll see in the plan that these shortfalls, the gap between our cumulative projected commitments, our investments in RGGI, as compared to our revenues, our starting point is a $72 million shortfall, but we are proposing to have that shortfall decrease in each year, and by the end of the 3rd year, on a cumulative basis, to have RGGI investments that are in line with our projected RGGI revenues. One of the elements that we've proposed as part of this balanced budget approach is a proposed reduction of the funding from RGGI funds to fund the Clean Energy Fund during this 3-year period by about $68 million. NYSERDA originally proposed contributing $250 million in RGGI funds to the Clean Energy Fund over 10 years, and that $250 million represented about 5% of the total $5.3 billion 10-year funding authorization authorized by the Public Service Commission in the Clean Energy Fund order. In addition to that $250 million coming from RGGI, the balance of funding was authorized in the Commission's order from the repurposing of various ratepayer funds totaling about $1.2 billion and from incremental ratepayer collections during the period 2016 through 2036 that totaled about $3.9 billion. So those were the three, we'll call them funding sources, that comprised the Public Service Commission's authorization of a $5.3 billion 10-year clean energy fund. So the $68 million proposed reduction that we proposed during this two-year period would represent about a 1.25% decrease in the total $5.3 billion 10-year authorization. Specifically, that $68 million reduction would be met by a reduction of funding through our market development and innovation and research activities. So that $68 million represents about 2% of the funding authorization that were approved over the 10-year horizon for market development and innovation research activities. Those, the approved funding in the Public Service Commission's order was about $3.4 billion over a 10-year horizon. So again, $68 million represents about a 2% reduction in that 10-year funding authorization. Based upon our current trajectory of investment plans that have been developed and have been filed, you all have access to the various strategies that we've developed. They're filed on the Department of Public Services website, or PSC's website, and outline the various investments that we've authorized and are effectuating to date through the Clean Energy Fund, and our early results that are coming back from those investment plan investments. We anticipate that we would still be able to achieve the 10-year goals that were outlined by the Public Service Commission in its order for achievements over the 10-year horizon for the Clean Energy Fund, even despite the 2% funding authorization reduction. However, to ensure that the CEF, the Clean Energy Fund, would achieve its maximum benefits, if additional REGI funds or other monies become available during the three-year period, NYSERDA may restore some or all of this $68 million reduction, this 2% reduction. The plan also notes, as kind of a worst-case scenario, but not one that we hope or expect to materialize, that if REGI allowance prices remained at the most recent level, that is to say $3.80, the results that we just saw from this month's auction, the revenues that we projected in this three-year plan would be reduced by about $103 million and require an additional reduction of funding to the Clean Energy Fund to achieve a balanced budget by the end of the three-year period. And so there, if that were to materialize, then the total combined reduction would be a reduction of about $171 million of funding in the Clean Energy Fund, representing about a 5% reduction to the funding authorization for our market development and innovation research activities. Again, that's not our planning assumption, but we've outlined that in the operating plan as a kind of a draconian, hopefully worst case scenario, that if prices basically remained unchanged over the three-year horizon, that would be additional adjustments that we would make in order to achieve a balanced budget. And so now I think I'll turn over to John Williams for an overview of the programs, and then at the end we'd be happy to take questions.
Okay, thanks Jeff, and good morning everybody. You know, after hearing Jeff's, whoops, Jeff's presentation on the budget, you know, discussion on the programs for the current budget is really to emphasize that what we are going to be looking at doing is, you know, retaining commitments to the programs that we have previously indicated, and to ensure that we have at least a level of contribution towards the overall purpose of the REGI program investment portfolio, as well as retaining a degree of the strategy setting and strategy approach that has been adopted for proceeds coming through the REGI program in order to help advance our clean energy markets broadly. So So we do try to identify what comprehensive strategies might be. How does REGI sit alongside other statewide initiatives that are also looking for the same outcomes? But with a specific focus on, like, how do we ensure that those outcomes really do help to result in measurable carbon dioxide emissions reductions as we think about growth in the markets for energy efficiency, renewable energy, and looking at research and innovation in new technologies, new business models, new approaches to help advance and continue to grow that clean energy marketplace. So energy efficiency, renewable energy, carbon abatement, all being realized through five different strategies that we've identified for the REGI portfolio. So first and foremost is really focusing on making sure that we are supporting energy efficiency and renewable energy technologies that can find ready paths to market but need some additional support in that deployment strategy. So still looking at the primary source of those funds to help realize kind of steel in the ground, as it were, energy efficiency and renewable energy. But we also do want to ensure that we do maintain a perspective on long-term capacity building. How can we work with various industry sectors? How do we work with various consumer sectors to help each of those sectors identify what their CO2 emissions reductions opportunities are through efficiency renewable investments. So building that capacity for both consumers as well as service providers to identify what those opportunities are and be able to pursue those opportunities, still a main component of our comprehensive strategies, and REGI will continue to play a role in that process. Empowering communities. Communities will serve as a on-the-ground sort of decision-making base off of which we can look towards, for clean energy market development, and ensuring that we have targeted efforts at helping communities understand what their needs are, how can they participate in clean energy through their program planning through their own local planning, helping to build both resilience as well as emissions reduction and carbon mitigation as part of their own, realizing their own mission in terms of what the community is looking for from their own outcomes. Stimulating entrepreneurship and growth of clean energy markets, as mentioned, is still very much a forefront outcome that we would be looking for, as well as trying to understand what are the financing opportunities and how do we tap capital markets to help build confidence among those markets to help to expand opportunities for investment in clean energy, looking to reduce the cost of capital eventually over time, which we believe would lead to self-sustaining markets for clean energy. So all building the infrastructure and all of the outcomes necessary in order to realize a clean energy marketplace that ultimately will be acting on its own in terms of pursuing opportunities and having businesses become creative in creating those opportunities on behalf of the consumers that are really seeking those clean energy outcomes.
We may have had the wrong slides set up, so
okay.
Take a pause, about
we've
10, 5 seconds. We're going to fix
we're
this.
Working through that.
And Frank will advance the slides for you.
Okay.
That you were just working through, are you ready to move to the pie chart?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We need to swap that. Sorry about that.
folks are going to see, folks here are going to see what you're seeing, Frank, on the screen, unfortunately, so we'll just minimize that. Get that out of the way. Yeah, I think that might be to do.
I'll just start talking a little through this. If there's partial visibility from the webinar, maybe we don't have that.
Well, I think we need to grab that.
Okay.
There, now they can see it.
Okay.
Okay, so hopefully this is visible for folks in the room as well as on the webinar, so apologies for the slight interruption. So this really is looking at that three-year horizon that that Jeff had mentioned is what is in the current operating plan. So investments of $245 million over the three fiscal years, fiscal years 18, 19, 20, 21, and looking at the proposed portfolio as it was presented in the draft operating plan amendment that was circulated, and how does the identification of program investments comport with the nature of the strategy setting that we do with those investments. So that's what this pie chart is intended to give a visualization to. So as mentioned, you know, deployment of efficiency and renewables and ensuring that we have the adequate market supports for that in all areas of the state will receive 60% of the identified funding. So again, ensuring that we have deployment of readily accessible technologies available to the market will still remain a priority investment opportunity for REGI and a priority investment strategy. Looking at, the building capacity, so that probably would look a smaller percentage than has in the past. This really represents the determination on how we look to the Clean Energy Fund support from REGI. We still will maintain a footprint by REGI in helping to sit alongside other Clean Energy Fund investments, but that's what we see as that 3% investment level. Empowering communities at 9%, innovative financing that comes primarily with the Green Jobs, Green New York loan program, 23% of the funding. And then also still looking to make investments in helping to advance new markets for emergent technologies and keeping that as a measurable part of the portfolio as well. So next slide, Frank. And just a, you know, just a maybe a little further description on the strategy that NYSERDA was thinking about in terms of ensuring that we are touching all parts of our broad strategy and ensuring REGI still does provide those appropriate contributions. So energy efficiency and renewable energy, this program plan amendment represents a retained commitment to that market growth opportunity as well as universal access across the state for, say, our programs, our home performance with Energy Star program, contributions to the Empower program, also looking at maintaining efficiency investments and renewable energy investments through some targeted activity both in Long Island as well as through continued support of tax credits for renewable energy projects. Building capacity for long-term reduction, again, this is maintaining a footprint with the Clean Energy Fund. And as Jeff had mentioned, we would certainly look for expansion opportunities in this space should the revenue profile improve over the time period of this plan. So, you know, it's, even though it is a bit of a reduced contribution from REGI, it should not be interpreted that the capacity building efforts are diminished in any way because the Clean Energy Fund will still be very active in implementation roles through that portfolio. And so this does not mean that that capacity building ends. The Clean Energy Fund continues, and REGI will still make some contributions to those activities. Community transition, we're supporting transition to sustainable and resilient communities. We see this through some identified investments coming out of the legislated budget process from last year with some additional direction regarding the electric generation facility cessation program, some out-year commitments identified by last year's state budget, so we want to make sure we take account of that. But also seeing contributions from our New York Prize program, which is looking at implementation not only of microgrids, but doing so with efficiency and renewable technologies, and how can we support not only the technology installation, but how the communities can look to those types of technologies and outcomes with a clean energy profile in mind, as well as a climate resilience profile in mind. Stimulating innovation and growth in clean energy, so this is where we are retaining commitments to electric vehicle market growth. Still seeing this as something of a new nascent marketplace, although we're seeing certainly a lot of interest in the consumers in purchasing more electric vehicles. We're seeing more need for us to think about expanded infrastructure investments and how do we set ourselves up with kind of the right policy levers, the right market levers, in order to ensure that we continue to foster that growth in that space. And then finally, financing, and as I had mentioned previously, it's a retained commitment to the Green Jobs, Green New York loan activity, seeing that there is still quite a vibrant market for Green Jobs, Green New York loans, and we want to make sure that we are reserving adequate support for that loan activity over the time period of the operating plan. And with that, I'm done with discussion here, and I think we can move on to discussion and questions and answers from everyone here.
Great, thanks.
Thank you, John. Let's switch computers.
Okay. I really don't need this one. I know we're doing discussion, so I don't need that one.
Got it.
This is
I got
pretty
it.
Tight. Yeah, just leave it here.
And you can watch the webinar, and I'll wing it from here.
Sorry about the technical problem. And we will confirm that we have the correct slide set posted. Slides will be posted. At NYSERDA's Reggie operating plan website. And again, we will make sure that we have the right slides posted. Are there any questions from any members of the audience here in the room? Yep, go ahead. Yeah, if you can come up here because we are trying to make sure the people on the phone can hear. And please identify your, give us your name and any organization you represent.
Hi, I'm John Shabako. I'm the president of ESSEC Geothermal, and I'm representing NYGEO, so the New York Geothermal Energy Organization. I just had a kind of a general question around there's allocations for renewable energy and for energy efficiency from RESI, but also the systems benefit charge and there's other funding sources. How does a NYSERDA program, so clean, I guess it's called clean heating and cooling now, how does a program like that make a decision about where they access funds from, whether it's RESI funds, clean energy funds, or maybe systems benefit charges, clean energy funds? I'm just kind of curious how those decisions get made. I didn't see those allocations, which is great, but just curious.
John?
Thanks, John. So really, the decision doesn't really get made necessarily by looking at the funds first and the sources of the funds first and then moving them into the program. I think what we try to do at NYSERDA is ensure that we have a good understanding of what the market potential will look like over a time period and try to understand how we can work with sort of market players, the consumer base, to best influence, you know, the appropriate program outcomes that we can anticipate. Once we have a good sense of what that kind of potential and that projection for realization of the right outcomes in that space works out, then I think comes, you know, we would then come to bear both with, you know, how much can we look to support from the Clean Energy Fund based on the outcomes that are sought from that space, and to the degree that RESI funds might sit alongside the Clean Energy Fund, because we can't hit all parts of the state or we can't hit certain market spaces, you know, RESI might help to fill that funding gap. Or, you know, we might even look at it and say, you know, there is a very specific RESI-identified, you know, program opportunity here, and it might be that RESI funds become the primary source, given that other funding resources might be, you know, dedicated for other purposes. So it really is very much trying to get an understanding, like, what is the market opportunity that NYSERDA is looking to capture, and then, you know, looking to the appropriate funding sources and trying to build that into budget afterwards.
To answer your question? You have a follow-up?
It does.
Okay.
I follow this. It's, are those, the thinking about that, so there's a certain amount of money allocated, and it looks like it adjusts based on certain things. If that, let's say there's a given set of NYSERDA programs in energy efficiency or renewable energy in any given year, if they don't access the RESI fund that might be available to that, do those become cumulative? Do they go back into the pool? Do they balance the New York State budget in some way that we would be unhappy about? How does that work?
They don't do the last part of it.
Good answer.
So let's start there. So in terms of the RESI operating plan, the proposed investments that we've outlined for the three-year period, and frankly even prior authorization that have been used to fund a number of initiatives. I'll pick an example of a program. The Cleaner Greener Communities Program has previously been allocated funding. We've made a number of awards to municipalities and other recipients. To the extent that any of those projects don't go to fruition, a project, a trip out, like right, one of our awardees decides not to go forward, or the project gets rescoped, then there would be a reduction of RESI expenditures, and effectively what that does is just reduce these commitment numbers that we're showing in this plan. So it still stays as RESI, and effectively what it would then produce is additional RESI revenues. And so maybe, again, maybe that fits into our prior discussion about if we see additional REGI revenues, and REGI revenues, additional REGI revenues could come in two forms: auction prices coming in higher than we projected, or attrition that may happen through the programs and projects that we have proposed to fund in this plan. Either one of those could result in availability of additional REGI monies. And so we would then look to incorporate that into future operating plans that we would you know, share with stakeholders and we'd seek approval for.
So okay, so part of that is that it helps balance the REGI budget.
Exactly.
That's right. Which makes sense.
That's right.
Okay.
And similarly, as John said, can also be used to supplement and stand side by side with our clean energy funds. But it does not do the last part of what you said. Any monies that materialize do not automatically provide for state funding relief.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks. If anyone else has any questions, come on up to the microphone. In the meantime, I'll address the first WebEx question, which is the table in operating plan table one has total funding at $260 million. Slide 15 showed $245 million. Why the difference? And I understand the answer is that the investments that are presented don't include the administrative and other non-program costs. So that's the $15 million difference. I'm not going to try to answer the second question. This is for you, John. Has anyone considered how VDER will affect the economics of New York Prize microgrid projects?
Thank you for that question. That's, I think, one of those questions we think about all day, every day, in some respects. Sorry to be flip on that answer. You know, I think certainly with VDER, you know, we've got phase one is just in place now. It's a pretty tailored application of the new compensation structure, which will have some relatively limited applications, none of which I believe are really going to be in support of microgrids, as at least NYSERDA has been looking at microgrid development, certainly through the New York Prize program. If we were to think about that more broadly, I think that is a very good question and really would require a good deal more deliberation and consideration through the VDER phase two process as we look to broader applications of new value-based rates, and certainly should be a consideration of that overall new rate structure. How do rate structures not only support certain technology applications, but also use applications, and ensuring that we have the appropriate valuation streams built into those new compensation rates that take account of the various uses and potential system benefits that are realized, again, both by the technology or by the configuration through a microgrid.
Thank you. Connor?
Thank you. Connor Bamberg, Environmental Attitudes of New York. So the REGI commitment to the Clean Energy Fund, was that reduction reflected in recent Clean Energy Fund budget reduction for the board approved in September, or is it on top of it?
The Clean Energy Fund budget reductions you're referring to are probably revised estimates of our program expenditures in the current fiscal year. Those don't relate to this funding reduction of future contributions towards the funding authorization of the Clean Energy Fund.
Probably know the answer to this, but before reducing the commitment to the Clean Energy Fund, was there any consideration of asking the state to repay the $90 million 2009?
So as we approached this planning horizon, I think we looked at elements of our planning that are things that are frankly within our control and within the control of the direction of the NYSERDA Board of Directors. And so, you know, decisions that are made at the state level on, you know, repayment of the prior, you know, $90 million transfer is not a decision that we can effectuate here. Our assumption in our plan was, as John said earlier, effectively continuation of certain mechanisms. And so, for example, that includes an assumption that there would be a continuation of the funding for the environmental tax credit funding that's been authorized in the last couple of years' budgets. But that's not NYSERDA's board of directors, and we do not direct that. That, as you know, comes through the budget process. And so in our planning process, we have assumed and presumed that those funding contracts, funding transfers, funding authorizations would continue. We think that was a prudent assumption. We know that from all reports that we've all seen, it's going to be a difficult budget year for the upcoming year. And so, no, we were not in a position to try to advance or presume that there could be, you know, repayment of a prior $90 million transfer, you know, from Reggie, and nor the elimination of what has been recurring funding authorizations for environmental tax credit funding.
Sure, go ahead.
With regard to the Long Island Energy Efficiency Renewable Energy Fund, does Peace Lake Long Island have its own budget for these types of projects? And if so, what percentage of the Reggie Fund makes up that budget?
So I might have to get back to everybody on the specific numbers on that. But PSEG does have its own collections in place for energy efficiency investments, and the REGI investments sit alongside those. So I will get a hold on just a number. I would say that you know, when we think about the current budget split with the REGI and the PSEG funds, REGI represents about, I want to say, 40%. Of the total PSEG energy efficiency program budget. On a going forward basis, you know, and during the term of this operating plan, we do not have full insight into what that PSEG proposed budget would look like for efficiency on a going forward basis. The $25 million that's been identified here is not the same level that it had been in previous years. So we just don't have the full insight as to what the total PSEG budget would look like at this point.
Excellent. And then finally, on the Charge New York program, just wondering where the progress is sort of about with the charging installation. Last report I saw that it was at 1,700 with the goal of getting to 3,000 by 2018. So are we another 1,300 in the next couple of days, or is that at some point later on?
So it's good that Adam Reuter from NYSERDA is sitting in the room. And Adam, can you speak to that?
Why don't you up here, Adam?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. So I think last I checked, we were around 1,800 installed right now, and we are. Between NYSERDA programs and DEC programs and New York Power Authority programs, we have a number of stations that are underway. I don't know. The intention was never to have New York State funding be the only source of all the installations, and we know that there are installations happening outside of our programs, you know, through Electrify America, the VW subsidiary, and other initiatives, and you know, we think that, you know, we're pushing ahead and making progress. I don't know exactly where things will shake out by the end of 2018, but we're continuing to make progress and have a number of installations that are going to be going in possibly by the end of the year and continue on into 2018.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Comments? Once? Twice? Last call? Okay, thank you. And I think we'll have John and or Frank discuss the next steps, correct?
Danny, or is that you?
sure, I can
This is Frank Champa from NYSERDA. I just wanted to give some indication about next steps and the process going forward. So in addition to the comments that we've received here today, both in the room and over the webinar, we're going to have a written comment period. If you can submit written comments to the address provided here, regiprograms@nyserda.ny.gov, by close of business on January 5th, 2018, we'll have the opportunity to receive those comments, provide a reply, and, where appropriate, incorporate those into the operating plan amendment. And this revised operating plan document is going to be provided to the NYSERDA Board of Directors for prior review ahead of the January 23rd, 2018 board meeting. Pardon me. And that is where the approval will be put forward to the board. As far as more of a logistical note, NYSERDA is going to be updating the email list service that we have. And so we've got the New York State Ready stakeholders who are here in the room, and we've got some old archive lists. We're going to be reaching out to folks just to make sure that we've got the most up-to-date information. So those of you who may be on old lists can probably expect a request for an update coming soon. And so that information is going to be coming out shortly.
And that's all that we have today. Thank you so much for being here and participating in the room, as well as over webinar.
Any concluding remarks?
No, just to, unless John has something he would like to add. Thank you very much for your participation. And again, we will be posting the slides, the correct slides, and the recording of today's webinar within the next several days at NYSERDA's website.
Thank you, and happy holidays.
Just end the event. It'll shut down the recording automatically.
Okay.
So we don't need to do anything else.